We do need very special prayer. The Lord's working out some details to be able to put ads in the newspaper, gospel tracts in the newspaper in Croatia. And it looks like within 5 or 6 weeks that's going to become a reality. The reason for difficulty is because of the tremendous hatred that's very foreign to all of us tonight, of how there could be such hatred in Bosnia and Herzegovina and the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia, and then Croatia, between the Serbs and the Croatians. It's almost a self-destruct type situation. And the language was combined, known as Serb-Croatian, but if there are any Serb words in a Croatian text, they do not accept it. If there are any Croatian words in the Serb, and we haven't found anybody to do that work with the Serb, but there is a man tonight who is doing a translation, who is in the last couple of years came to the conclusion of the Textus Receptus and the correct text in that respect, and that's his conviction, and possibly the only fundamentalist tonight in all of Croatia. And so this man is the one that's doing all this translation work and is getting it ready. I mentioned perhaps before, I do not remember, as I made my way through last fall into Croatia just to see what the situation was, and went through many villages and into a major town of 150,000 where the fighting had been 6 months before, and it's getting close to many of those areas tonight, but the suffering has prepared the hearts of those people for the message. I see no other way. I see no other way except perhaps through placing the message in the newspaper. So I would ask that you pray that you really, in the next few weeks, really pray about that situation, that now that might become a reality. I would just like to maybe ramble a bit tonight, just simply to make some comments again, that the greatest need tonight in the cause of Christ is not more men or more money. The need tonight is intercession. And many times we are so guilty of saying, well, if you can't do anything else, you pray for us. May I say tonight that that is the first and the foremost. Not on anything until it has been bathed in prayer. And you look at history, if you're able to get into the background somewhere, you'll always find when revival came, when doors were open, when strongholds were conquered, when there was a very special manifestation of God or a moving of God, you'll find that somewhere one, two, or three people even had that burden and spent much time, sometimes even years, in intercession. And there's some examples. I would remind you of Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, of what even though Paul was the apostle, so to speak, to the Gentiles, yet there was a heaviness, there was a brokenness that he could never leave, that never left him, for his people Israel. And Romans 9, I say the truth in Christ, verse 1, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And then there are some characteristics of an intercessor. And you'll find here, and I'll mention some men tonight, and I may not say that much about it, but I think you'll see that it jumps out from the verses that will be mentioned tonight, that there were other men willing to do the same thing we find here. I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. It's very easy. It's very easy to make a stand. It's very easy to uncover sin. It's very easy to point out today all of the sin and the ills and the error and the wrongs that pervade and Christianity in our nation. and the condition of our country. But if we go into the Word of God, you'll find that those who prevailed in prayer were those that identified with the sin of their country. It caused great sorrow of heart. Their hearts were broken, and that they did not compromise, but it's very different. It's very different to skin and to in a manner to scathingly deal with this. But it's quite another situation when God breaks our heart. And that's a need tonight for our country, but not just for our country, but in nation after nation, and language after language, and country or tribe after tribe. And until we can identify, and then you'll notice, look for example of that intercessor of the Old Testament, Moses, and this brokenness that he had. And at the same time then, he did not enter into the sin of his people, but he identified with the sin of his people and confessed that sin as his sin as well. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, beginning in verse 30. And in here, God was going to wipe these people from the face of the earth. And but because of the prayer of one man, a nation was spared. It came to pass, Exodus 32, 30, it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said to the people, "Ye have sinned a great sin. Now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold." Then verse 32, "Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written." He was willing to give up his salvation if that were necessary for the sparing of his people. Look at Nehemiah in chapter 1. And you remember Nehemiah stayed, he had a place of position in Babylon. And the decree had been given, the Jews could go back, but they were quite comfortable and prosperous, and only a few went back. And he saw someone returning from Jerusalem, and he asked about conditions there. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach." In other words, they had it was a shame. It was a shame to all of the reproach before all of those pagan people. It was a reproach unto the Lord. It brought shame unto the name of Jehovah God, that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, the gates are burned with fire, they'd not been repaired, they'd had the freedom to do it, but did not take advantage of that. So verse 4, "It came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive, thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned." He identified, he confessed the sin of his people as his sin as well. Verse 7, "We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses." He identified, he confessed it as his sin. We find Well, we find a similar thing in Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 25. He knew that he was called to a rebellious people. But yet Jeremiah, there was a heaviness. I mean, he didn't go in a cold manner to rebuke and uncover the sin of his people and proclaim the judgment that was to come. Here you find him again confessing, "We lie down in our shame, and our confusion," Jeremiah 3:25, "our confusion covereth us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, even our youth, even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God." Daniel, I don't think you can find in the Word of God that Daniel ever fell into sin. Daniel, for over 70 years, through three empires or regimes and so on, everything that was against him in a foreign country, everything, yet he remained faithful, and I don't think you can find an incident in the life of Daniel. But in Daniel chapter 9, you'll find that he did identify with his people, and he did confess the sin of his people in Daniel 9:16. "O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach." And all through this, you'll find either the word reproach or the word shame. Either the word reproach or the word shame. And that's truly the testimony. That's truly the effect that became. They were mocked and they were made fun of. I mean, Jehovah God? I mean, your testimony? No, the heathen, the idolatrous, the pagan of that time, they had no testimony. They had become a reproach to all that are about us, this verse says. Verse 17, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that's desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people that are called by thy name." So there was an identification. There was a confession of their sin as his sin, as their sin as well. And for there to be prevailing in intercession, if there's to be a moving of God in some areas and on families and even in our own nation and the places where God put some of us, somehow there must be that brokenness and that heaviness which only the Spirit of God can produce in our hearts. But see, it's not a question of a great number. It's not a question of the majority. You'll find it's two or three. Two or three are enough to change an entire destiny of a nation or a city or a people. Then there's something else in relationship to intercession that must become real in our lives, we must begin to discern. There must be a discerning. There must be a discerning of perhaps the strongholds, the authority that now controls perhaps a community. It may be over families. It may be over languages or countries. In Daniel chapter 10, you'll find that the prayer of Daniel was hindered. He prayed for 21 days. Daniel 10 and 12, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But little Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. This was not the visible or literal physical king of Persia. It appears, and this is a terminology that's used a number of times, you remember that Satan is called at once the king of Tyrus, that referred to him and his fall and so on. It appears that some of those fallen angels have been delegated, or delegated demons or territorial spirits, if you please, over certain areas of the world. And here, Daniel was hindered. Daniel was in prayer. These over Persia, that part of the world, had withstood in his prayer, and he was hindered. It behooves us to, if God puts us in an area, to do our homework and to see if there's been a time when a people or a city or an area gave themselves over. There's some areas of the world tonight that there's never been a breakthrough. Australia, there's never been a real breakthrough for the cause of Christ. But Australia was begun as a penal colony of Great Britain. It was a place where those that they figured that there was no hope for any rehabilitation. It was a dumping ground. And so that's the way Australia came about. My conviction is tonight that strongholds can be conquered. The strong man can be bound. We dare not be a presumptuous people. We dare not go in without understanding. May I tell you tonight, we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be a people tonight that are afraid, because the Lord Jesus Christ got the full victory on the cross of Calvary. He is Lord. He is Lord. But we must recognize the need of binding the strong man in specific areas. We could go into our state of California, a state that there are many problems that are caused for the cause of Christianity, liberalism and cults and many things. But why was California started in the first place? Not for reasons which some other states came about. It was because of gold. What about the situation in San Francisco? I mean, as it was known perhaps for its homosexuality first. There must have been a time, there had to be a time when someone, somehow, some way, knowingly, consciously, gave over. And if we were to check in to some of the areas of the world that God places us, we would find a time, we can find a time in some of those places when a place was given over. But that doesn't mean it has to stay there. In Ezra chapter 4 and verse 15, you'll find some instruction that was given. And notice what it said here in Ezra 4:15. There was the discerning of the gates, the authorities or the strongholds over the city, that search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time. For which cause was this city destroyed? Now, I would remind you again tonight of that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The breaking of strongholds. The pulling down of strongholds. Our Lord, yes, that has been given to him. Matthew 28:18, he said, all power is given unto me. Amen. Implying authority as well. Authority, all authority, all power. Much of what the evil one does at times is a bluff, you know, because our Lord did have that full victory, and Jesus is Lord tonight. You know that passage in Luke 11:21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. The strong man, the god of this world. The palace, this world. His goods, the souls of men. But verse 22, when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Our Lord Jesus Christ. So the victory, his victory, can be ours. I mean, he's paid for it. It's all been taken care of. Why not? By faith. Appropriate that which our Lord has already taken care of. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10 says, go through the gates. The gates of the cities in the Bible where the authority of that city was located. They either over the gates, you know, there was a wall about the city, and there were these huge gates that were opened at sunup and closed at sundown, and was place of protection, refuge, etc., etc. But there were in some places where there was a room built over those gates. That's where the city hall or business was taken care of. There were times when they simply, the judges and all of those, simply set up their tables right in those gates, and they did their business there. But this passage says, go through the gates. Those centers of authority, whatever they may be, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, and lift up a standard for the people. Then another verse in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 12. And to me, this is related to intercession. The manner in which every single child of God can be involved in the ministry of intercession. You have many out from your body, this body here. May I repeat again tonight, their greatest need is intercession. And it is a ministry that every child of God can be involved in. Regardless of your age or who you may be. And may I say, it's not something to be put down or taken lightly or say, well, the least you can do. Oh, no. That's the greatest thing you can do and something every child of God can do. And you, here's a verse that can be yours through this. Verse 12, Isaiah 58:12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Intercession. Intercession. I wonder, perhaps, if you ever made a commitment, you as an individual, to the leadership God's given you here, to intercede for them. And then for those that God has honored this assembly with, by calling out and putting out into areas of the world. May I say to you, if you do not become very personally, daily involved, it's like putting a soldier on the battlefield and then suddenly removing from him and leaving him all alone, isolated, without any protection, without any help whatsoever. The same thing is true. So when Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, may the Spirit of God somehow give us that conviction tonight. It's not an elective. It's not something we decide whether we feel like it or going to do it or not. It's an imperative tonight. We must. You must. We must get involved in the ministry of intercession. God bless you.